Oh yeah! Linux in the house! Shizzle McNizzle!
Linux in the howie-owies, baby! I like that, babe!
Wow! That was interesting!
My name is Dan, I'm your enigmatic host, and rocking the rapping rhymes. Tonight with me is my daughter Paige. Say hello, Paige.
Hello.
And this is the inaugural episode of Linux in the House. How do you pronounce it, Paige?
Linux in the House.
Linux in the House. And hopefully by the time we release this, we'll have some intro music, which you're going to have to go find.
Me?
I'll tell you how to do that. Anyway.
Okay.
I figured what we could do to start off the episode, you know, little introductions and everything, start things going forward. Would you like to introduce yourself, Paige or Rage?
Okay, so what do I say? Just my name and stuff?
Introduce yourself. Tell us a little something about yourself.
Okay.
Who are you?
I'm Paige. I'm your daughter. I like music, lots and lots of music, and I go on the internet a lot. Obviously, I really like using Linux too.
And how old are you?
I'm 12.
And how long have you been using Linux?
I don't know. Since you trained me to use a computer.
I trained you to use a computer. Alright. Well, that's good. My name is Dan, and I'm Paige's father, and, well, probably most of you know who I am from the Linux Link Tech Show, and I've been using Linux for over 12 years now. So, what I figured we'd do, Paige, to start you off, to give you a little quiz here. Put you right on hot seat. See how much you really know about what's going on in this house. Can you tell me all the systems in this house that are running Linux?
Like all the computers that we have?
Everything that runs Linux in this house. Tell me what's running Linux in this house.
My small little netbook, mommy's small computer, this monitor right here, our TV, all your computers, I guess.
Anything else?
My phone, maybe?
Maybe. What? Any other thoughts?
Your and mommy's phones.
Okay.
Anything that has internet with it?
Anything. That's good. That's a good. When you said the TV, what did you mean by the TV?
Well, when you take it off of the Myth TV box and you go to the little internet thingy. I don't know what it's called.
What do you mean you take it off the Myth TV box?
When you escape from the Myth TV box and you go to the...
Oh, okay. So...
Yeah.
So the Myth TV box is running Linux?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Anything else?
Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Well, you got most of them, but there's still a few things that you missed. Should I run it down for you?
Go ahead.
Before I run it down for you...
Oh, joy.
One more quick question for you. Do you know what operating system, what distribution of Linux you're running on your computer?
Ubuntu?
Okay.
Like,
do you
know
what distribution... You're right. Do you know what distribution is running on your phone?
No.
What's it called? What kind of phone is it?
It's a Droid.
And that's Android. That's the distribution on the phone. Do you know what the Myth TV box is running?
Isn't it also running Ubuntu?
It is running Ubuntu. Do you know what Daddy's laptop is running?
Shut up! That's not running Ubuntu, is it?
No, it's not.
It's running Linux Mint?
No.
Crap. I don't
fail.
Shut up!
Alright, I'll give you the lowdown for our listeners there. We have in the house the three Android phones. Okay? Mine and yours are running... Well, I'm running 2.3. You're running 2.3, I think. Mommy's on 2.1.
Yeah,
both of ours
upgraded.
Are running Cyanogen. Mommy's is running the stock Ubuntu that came, or stock Android. Were you going to add something there?
Mommy wants hers upgraded.
She
to
wants
what we have because she wants the live wallpaper thing.
Ah, of course. That's what they all want, the live wallpaper. The Kindle that I have runs a version of Linux.
Oh,
the
crap, I forgot that.
The GP2X that I have runs Linux.
Oh.
My laptop runs Arch Linux. The Mezzo that Mommy uses most frequently runs Arch Linux. Your system runs Ubuntu. The two Triple E PCs that we have, one runs Ubuntu, one runs standard Xandro says. No, they both run Ubuntu.
Wait, you're counting those? I thought those don't work.
They technically do work. All right, we won't count them.
Technically
I have another,
they do work.
I have another box down here, which used to be Grandma's old computer. That's running Arch Linux. The server that hosts the virtual machines runs CentOS. It has three virtual machines running on there. One is the main server image, which is Slackware. The other one is another Slackware image for the Asterisk system, which we're talking on right now, which is a phone-based system, an IP telephony system. There's a streaming client on instance on their virtual machine that's running Debian. The Linksys system has a version of Linux on it. That's the router. The Myth TV box runs Mythbuntu. The TV, while it doesn't run Linux specifically, it runs BusyBox, which is a GPL application. And what else? Am I missing anything? We have the Migo system. That has Linux.
Do you already count
Linux
the Droid tablet thing?
Oh, yeah, the Droid tablet. That
you never
Linux
use?
I know. That was bad. It's a little slow and pokey. But it's still, you know, a decent system. I think that's pretty much everything right now, except for the computers that are never used, and they all run, have some version of Linux installed on them. The Neuros OSD, that is a version of Linux on it. That's cool. And I do believe that's it. So, how many computers in our house run Windows?
None.
How many computers in our house run OS 10?
What's that?
OS 10, Apple.
Ew, none.
Ew, none. And I should probably add that my Sansa Clip runs Rockbox, but that's not Linux. But it is an open source project. Anyway, moving on, Paige. Let's see what else this world's rocking with tonight. How about you tell us about your computer? Since you got that for Christmas, you were so excited to get this computer. It came about 2 weeks after, 3 weeks after Christmas, right? Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us a little review? What do you have there?
I like it. It works really good. It's the screen is a nice size. I like it. It's better. It's bigger than the AAA PC that I had before. It runs really well after you put the updates on it. It's really fast. I use my applications on it and they work really well. I downloaded a bunch of software like games and stuff, and lots of stuff that I probably don't even use, but it still runs pretty good. So that's a good thing. No,
what color
it.
Is it?
Black.
And you are running Ubuntu. Do you know what version of Ubuntu you're running?
Shut up.
Is that a no?
No, I don't know.
It's Maverick Meerkat.
Yes, because I was totally going to get that.
It's 10.10. That's lazy. Now, do you know what version came on your netbook? You know what it's called? Do you know what the name of your netbook is?
Nope.
It's a Starling. And where did you get it from?
Online?
Yeah, from what company?
I don't know.
System 76.
Oh, good for that.
Yeah, very good for that. But do you know what distribution, what version of Ubuntu was pre-installed on there?
Pre-installed?
No.
Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, what version?
I don't know.
Ubuntu? It was
my cheat sheet popped up late, so I don't know.
Uh-huh. Lucid Lynx.
Cool,
can you say
I
Lucid Lynx?
Lucid Lynx or Elucid? I don't...
Lucid.
Wait,
L-U-C-I-D.
Lucid Lynx.
Yes. Now, we had some problems with it last night.
Yeah.
We did. And what were the problems?
The headphones were making it freeze, I guess.
Yes.
Or,
and
yeah.
that is not an uncommon problem. There's been a couple of people that reported having that problem with the 10.4 and earlier, I think, netbook editions. You had the netbook release. And so what we did last night was we just upgraded it to Maverick after we tried a few different things, you know, of course, updating the system and then checking out some stuff, trying a couple different headsets, and then we finally upgraded to Maverick, and that seemed to solve the problem. Now, what I'm interested in knowing is you said that since we upgraded, it seems a little faster?
Yeah.
It does? So everything's working well for you?
Yeah, everything's working well for me.
Any complaints?
Not really, no.
So
it actually works really nice.
Oh, yeah? What kind of stuff have you been doing with your computer?
Well, what I do, usually I'm on the Otaku and stuff like that, and I'm making wallpapers and e-cards and stuff with different renders that I download, and I don't delete them, so it takes up a lot of space. And I go on Facebook sometimes, and I download a bunch of game apps, and I play them, and I've got, like, I've got Tux Paint, and I use Tux Paint. So I remember I used to have Tux Paint, and then I didn't because I didn't have it on your laptop, and now I do. And I have this little touch, like, keyboard touch type thing that's supposed to teach me how to do that, which I haven't really put much effort into. And so, basically, I'm doing a lot of making wallpapers and stuff, and going on the Otaku, which usually slow to run, but now it's working a lot better.
How do you make wallpapers? What are you doing to make wallpapers?
Well, usually I go to Google and I find renders, or I go to render site and I find renders. Sometimes I make them myself, but they don't look good, so I don't end up using them.
What's a
but
render?
It's, as a picture cut out of a picture, but I'm pretty sure that's not the technical term. I don't
but
know
how
what
would
the
I find
technical
a render?
Term for
what
render
would I type
is.
Into Google to get a render of, I don't know, Full Metal Alchemist?
Well, I would just type in FMA render. That's the easiest way to get one. I just did, and I got a whole bunch. So, basically, I just
oh, look at
find
that
a
one
render.
Henry.
You are
is that one
such
popping
an
up
idiot. Shut up!
I didn't know it.
Basically, I just find a render, and I find some. I look up backgrounds on Google, and I find a good background. And I take it to GIMP, and I add the render to the background. Sometimes I take it to Show Photo, and I add some textures and stuff. Then I add the render, and then I take it back to Show Photo after I've saved it, and then I add text if I want text. And then after that, I might add some textures after that. I don't know. Something like that. But sometimes I don't. And then after that, I finish it all off with my signature so that nobody steals it. Or they steal it and it looks bad afterwards after they cut out my signature. And then I submit it to the Otaku.
Now, why do you put your signature on it? I mean, you went and took this somebody's picture, this render. Why would you mark it with your signature?
Because you give the render, you, like, give the link to where you got the render. You're not taking credit for the render. You're taking credit for the whole artwork that you just did, the whole wallpaper, the adding your own, you know, artisticness to it, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So, and also, it's better to add your signature because if somebody does steal, which some people do, it's easier to track it down with that if it's still on there. And if it's not, then, you know, it's really easy if you add words and stuff because you can't take those off. But, so yeah, I remember my first wallpaper I made. I took a picture of Naruto and I colored around it in all black and I added some words and it looked really weird. And then I didn't know that there was, like, renders and stuff. And it looked so weird. But
so what
I still
have you
submitted
been doing?
It anyway.
What have you been doing with the pictures? And I know you've been taking pictures that you've drawn and scanning them in. What do you do with those then?
You submit them for the fan art? I've got a whole
bunch
of...
So that's different than a render.
Yeah, it's different than a render, of course.
So that's not the same thing that you were talking about then with renders?
No.
Okay.
Fan art is something that... Like, a couple of these I've scanned, and then I've, like, added a bunch of color and edited them in GIMP. But some of these, I just scan them after I've drawn them in my sketchbook, and I just put them on the Otaku. They're just stuff
that
I draw myself when I'm bored.
You know what you're going to want to learn how to do?
What?
I'll tell you what. You can do some really nice stuff with Inkscape. You scan those things in, and then you trace them.
Oh yeah,
curves.
Is that the thing that you did with that one picture of that one guy when you were like plugging in my monitor or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah. I tried messing around with it to see how you did that, but I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't even remember what you did it on.
I'll tell you what.
So I was like looking at
all of them. This is one thing I'm gonna hook you up with, because I'm good like this. You know?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What is it? Heathen X. Screencasters. Screencasters.org, I think. No. Let me see. Heathen X. Screencasters.heathenx.org. This is where you want to go, Paige. Screencasters.heathenx.org, and that's spelled HEATHENX.org. What you got there, what you can hook you up with, is that is a awesome collection of videos to watch on how to use GIMP and Inkscape. And if you start from the first one, you do like one or two a week, you will know exactly how to do everything you want to do to make fantastic graphic arts, designs, drawings, anything on the computer you have up there.
Cool.
We're going to hook you up.
Okay.
We're going to hook you up in the house.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let me ask you another question. What don't you like about that computer that you have?
Let's see, I don't like where the speakers are. The speakers are, like, right in front and on the bottom, kind of, so the sound can come out kind of muffled sometimes when I'm listening to something. That's why I've got these two speakers that you gave me that I'm using.
Laptops are not known for decent speakers.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
It's not that I don't like this, but I'm kind of getting used to the keyboard. Because, you know, on all different kinds of computers, like on mommy's and mine, like, there's, like, different stuff in different places. Like, if I'm looking for, like, a certain symbol or something, I gotta kind of search for it. But I'm getting used to that. This one isn't as difficult as it was for mommy's. I was, like, looking on it, trying to type something, and I couldn't find it. It took me, like, 5 minutes. Is there anything else? I don't think there's anything else. I don't like how, if my internet is disconnected and I've got the little thing, it took me a while to figure this out. You gotta, like, left click it, and you gotta, like, click, enable notifications or something like that. No, enable networking or something.
Okay.
I don't know, and then it'll show up, like, what you can connect to, but if you don't do that and it's disconnected, it'll just say network disconnected, and it won't have anything to, like, go to. So I was kind of frustrated with that for a little bit. Because sometimes it doesn't connect right away to the internet. Most of the time it does, but sometimes it doesn't. So... yeah.
Now, have you taken it outside the house?
Yeah.
You've used it at your friend's house?
I couldn't really use the internet because she doesn't have internet, but I've taken it to, like, Barnes & Noble's and used the Wi-Fi there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why
wasn't that hard
internet?
To figure out? She does have internet, but she doesn't have Wi-Fi.
Oh.
So I couldn't connect to it. She can't connect to it either
with
her laptop.
You
know what? Shut up.
Friends anymore.
You don't have Wi-Fi. You know what? I'm leaving. No. It's good because if I don't have internet, that I actually get around to working on my fan fictions.
Now, what kind of computer does your friend have?
She's got Gateway.
Gateway. Is it a laptop or?
She calls it. It's a laptop. She calls it CalQ because she can't remember the name for it.
How does that one work? Does it work nice?
I guess it works nice for her. I don't like it. I don't like how it's set up. It's got, like, the whole, like, Internet Explorer thing at the bottom, and you, like, click it and stuff. And I just don't like how it works.
Is she using Internet Explorer?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
yeah.
Paige, come on. What kind of friend lets their friend use that, the worst browser in the world? You should tell her to download Firefox.
I don't know. Can she download something if she doesn't have the Wi-Fi?
Does she get it on the network at all?
No.
Never?
She's got a thing to put in the... she's got a thing to plug into it that gets her Wi-Fi, but she doesn't know where it is. It's like... packed up somewhere.
Yeah, well. Alright. Enough of that wahoodle crap. I mean... in the house. So, you've been happy using your computer. Got a show going on here. We're going to be doing this probably at least once a month, or maybe more than that. Depending on how well things go. Do you know what our website address is?
No.
It's linuxinthehouse.org. That's
cool.
Linuxinthehouse, dahouse.org. There's nothing there right now. I gotta put something up. Yeah. What else, Paige? What else would you like to say tonight?
I like YouTube videos.
That's wonderful.
I don't know.
We'll talk about those in the future.
I like making YouTube videos.
That's one thing we're going to talk about in the future, in a future episode.
Cool.
It'll be exciting, huh? So you think
about
that. And you know what? You know that note-taking application you have right there, the one where you put the little sticky notes on
my screen?
Yeah.
Yeah, what about it?
You got that? How about you open up one of those notes? And you type this in there.
Okay.
You ready? Do you know what that program's called?
No.
I do believe you're using Tomboy, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't know 100%. All right, you got one open?
Yeah.
All right, here's your homework assignment for the next show. You ready?
Oh, God. Yeah, sure.
I want you to tell me the name of the guy who created Linux. So, who created Linux, and why did he do it? And a little something else. And tell me some more stuff that you find out. You know where you can find that information?
The website?
On the web. On the Googles.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You can put it in. So there you go. You got it all? You got the question?
Yeah.
Who created Linux and why?
All right. And other cool stuff.
There you go. And then you can tell all your friends that you got to show on the interwebs. But don't tell them yet because we don't have the website up.
Okay.
And then we put this show out. So, little page of rage. You know what? You're lucky because when I was your age, right?
Oh, God.
12? When I was your age,
yeah.
I had my computer, TI-99-4A, which is down here, still in the box. Where is it? I can point at it. Where is it?
That does much good, right? Pointing at it?
Yeah, it does, but it's down here somewhere. Anyway, that thing was about the size of this printer that we have down here. Not as tall, but it was bigger than this laptop. And the TV set that I plugged into it, yes, it was a TV, not a monitor, was bigger than the monitor you have up there now, or about the same size, but not the same screen size. And I had to load programs in off of that, off of cassette tape. And you know how long it would take to load a program in? Off of cassette tape?
No. How long?
3 to 5 minutes. 3 to 5 minutes.
Wow.
3 to 5 minutes, Paige. And then I got a disk drive. Old 5 1/4 floppy drive. You know how big that thing was? That thing was about the size. That thing was about the size. What can I relate that to? What can we relate to? That thing was about the size of a mailbox. Kind of like a mailbox you put out on a post out in front of the house. I think it was about the size of a mailbox, and it had this big, long ribbon cable that came off it, connected into a port on the side. And I'll tell you what. When I was your age, Paige, I was not allowed to have video games. My dad, your grandpa, Pop-Pop, as you like to call him, said, if you want to play games, you got to write them yourself.
Oh, I remember this.
And then when I got a little older, I got some games. I snuck some games in. So one day, I was playing Infocom's Infidel. Now, these games were all text-based. There were no fancy graphics like you got going on right now. This was back in the old day where you had to use your imagination. And I got all the way to the end of Infidel. And as I was going in to open up the sarcophagus at the end of the game, the fuse burned out on my disk drive.
Oh, wow.
And when I finally got it fixed, what?
That sucks.
It does. When I finally got it fixed, I could never figure out how to get back into the sarcophagus room again.
Oh, that's horrible. Kind of like how my Echelon game got corrupted.
Well, yeah.
And I hated you for a while.
So the backups are for, always make a couple copies.
Oh, shut it.
Are you still playing Echelon?
Occasionally. I don't have a lot of time to play it, but when I get around to it, yeah, I play it sometimes, I mean. But on this computer, I haven't played it in a while, but the last time I played it, it didn't work very well. This is actually the only thing that's actually kind of slow, and I can't find it in my applications. I'm looking right now, and it's not in here. I gotta, like, search through it through my, my folders.
Alright, I'll fix that for you. We'll get that fixed up. Well,
okay.
We're about running out of time here. It's a school night. Ugh.
No, school can wait.
So we're good, and you're going to do your homework assignment. When you get your homework assignment, that's when we'll talk about doing another episode.
Okay.
So I hope you had fun. Did it meet all your expectations?
What, the show?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about my homework assignment. I was like, I had a feeling I was going to do homework.
Anyway, would you like to say anything before we close off tonight? Would you like to give any shout-outs to your gal friends out there in the hizzy hood?
Okay. Jordan, I hope you never come to my house.
Me too. Oh, I don't even know who you are.
She, for the second time, is one of my friends from school.
Which one?
Anywho. The one that's in all of my classes and is in my band class, too. She plays the flute. You've never met her. I'm glad. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Well, this show is dedicated to Jordan. I never met you. And may you take a bath, Jordan. Take a bath. Alright, so this is episode 1 of Linux in the House. We thank you for listening, and we will be back with some more entertaining stuff in a few shakes of the leg. Say goodnight, Paige.
Goodnight, Paige.
Yeah.
Oh yeah! Linux in the house! Shizzle McNizzle!
Daddy has a gun!
Welcome to Worcester! $1.25, please!
Hey, it's Towbooth Willie! Haven't seen you in a long time. How's it going, man?
Good! Thanks for asking, Pop!
Hey, Willie, the last time I talked to you, you said you were installing Fedora on your computer. How's that working out for you?
Hey, can't complain, pal. How's by you?
Oh, it's going good. Dude, I just installed Debian. It is wicked fast and stable.
So where you headed?
Oh, I'm going to the Northeast GNU Linux Fest.
By the way, what is this for?
Well, it's a conference for all GNU Linux users and open source software. There's going to be a keynote speaker. His name is Matt Lee. He's from the Free Software Foundation. He's going to be speaking on free software. And there's also going to be exhibitors there from, like, GNOME, KDE, and other open source projects where you can talk to them about the various things that they're doing within the project. And it's just going to be a great place to hang out with other GNU Linux users and geek out. Oh, by the way, Willie, the conference is at Worcester State University at 486 Chandler Street. Do you know how to get there?
Well, I know my way around New England, I can tell you that much.
Well, I guess I can just check out the directions on northeastlinuxfest.org. I know they have them there.
Okay, sure.
Oh, hey, Willie, how much is it for the toll?
The state charges $1.25, pal.
Man, $1.25? That's more than my operating system costs. Well, here you go.
Would you like a receipt with that?
Yeah, sure, I'll take one. Thanks.
And here you are.
Well, we'll see you later, Willie. Have a good day.
Hey!
Oh, what? Willie, you want to come with us to the GNU Linux Fest? Come on, man. Get out of there. Hop in the car. We'll take off and go and have a great time.
I'm coming out of the booth!
That's right. So if you want to join us and Towbooth Willie at the Northeast GNU Linux Fest, it's going to be in Worcester, Massachusetts, at Worcester State University, located at 486 Chandler Street in the Student Center. It's going to be on April 2nd, starting at 10:30 a.m., going until 3 p.m. There's also going to be an after party at Jillian's, so come on down and have a great time. Visit us at northeastlinuxfest.org, and please, if you plan on coming, register so that way we know who to expect and who's coming. Again, visit us at the website, northeastlinuxfest.org. We hope to see you soon.
Saludos y saludos. This is Re Claudio Montalban, brother of Ricardo. If you are like me, you enjoy the finer things in life, like cars, Corinthian leather, and Linux Fests. Join Indiana Linux Fest, one of the finest Linux Fests, as they begin their march to freedom. From the 25th to the 27th, events include LPIC exam cram class, LPIC and PSDA certification exams, Fedora Activity Day, as well as the second Drupal Camp Indie Community Driven Talks, plus performances by Dual Core, Shammers and Left Hand. Keynote speakers include Tarus Baylog of OpenNMS and Bradley M. Kuhn, Executive Director of the Software Freedom Conservancy. They are also still looking for volunteers and sponsors. So, if you are interested, go to indianalinux.org to learn more. That's indianalinux.org. Now that is what I call fine Corinthian leather.
Whether you've only just heard of Linux or are an expert, here's your chance to learn more about it at the Southern California Linux Expo. For 2011, Scale has added another track for system administrators. Scale now has 5 speaker tracks for you to choose from. Scale 9X features over 65 speakers covering the latest topics in open source software. The expo floor has grown to over 80 booths, with commercial and nonprofit organizations showcasing products and software. And the Friday special sessions have returned too. On Friday, you can choose from FOSS Mentoring, DevOps Day Los Angeles, Los Angeles Postgres SQL Day, Scale University, or Fedora Activity Day. The Southern California Linux Expo is February 25th, 26th, and 27th, 2011, at the Hilton Los Angeles Airport Hotel. For more information, or to register for the Expo, visit SoCalLinuxExpo.org. Use promo code CAST, C-A-S-T, for 40% off your registration, and we'll see you at Scale 9X.
Five, four, three, two, one. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give us a countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then we are going to start. We don't have any show music so we'll have to just wing it and pretend that there was show intro music, okay?
So what should I say? Just, like, introduce myself? I don't...
Well, I'll take care of everything to start with, and then we'll go from there, okay?
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Alright. I gotta adjust my microphone because I'm getting noise in the background.
Alright.
Do I sound okay to you?
Yeah. There's there's a little bit of background noise, but it's not too bad.
Can you hear me now?
You're a little soft.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. making all that background hum.
It's not me, is it?
No, it's the washing machine. I'll let things soak for a while.
Okay.
Alright. Okay. How's that?
That's good.
Alright, here we go.
Alright.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then I would... What do you think?
What?
What?
You like cut out there. I don't know what you said.
No, I did that on purpose.
Thanks a lot. I thought you did that on purpose, jerk.
Alright, are you ready?
Yeah.
I don't know what this button does on here. Okay.
That's a good thing.
We're gonna start again.
Alright.